الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Just to touch upon slightly the topic of Hayatul Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam ba'da wafatihim, the lives, the ismat life of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam after their passing away. Imam Al-Bayhaqi Al-Hafiz Al-Bayhaqi radiallahu anhu, one of the major scholars of hadith of the 4th and the 5th century of Al-Islam, compiled a book regarding the life of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam after their passing away. In this small risala, he radiallahu anhu compiled all the ahadith regarding the lives of the Anbiya, which are not comparable to the lives of average human beings or Muslims who pass away and are buried. Hence the special quality of the Anbiya, what we call al-shama'il being the plural of shamila, the special qualities or the exclusive qualities which we call khasa'is, being the plural of khasisa. Some Anbiya have an exclusive quality like our master Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first hadith which the Hafiz relates with his sanad, he says, on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, an Anas radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, الأنبياء أحياء في قبورهم يصلون, that the Anbiya, the plural of Nabi, the Prophets, are alive in their graves and they pray. He also mentions radiallahu anhu this hadith twice after mentioning the first hadith. He mentions it twice more with his own sanad, and then he mentions another hadith on the authority of Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu, anin nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, on the authority of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal innal anbiya la yutrakuna fi qaburihim ba'da 40 laylatan, that verily the anbiya, the prophets, are not left in their graves after 40 days, walakinnahum yusalluna bayna yadayillah, except that they pray bayna yadayillah, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hatta yunfakha fi sur, until it is blown in the trumpet, referring to the trumpet which Sayyidina Mikail alayhi salatu wassalam, the angel, will blow on the day of resurrection. This hadith has also been narrated in other books, like Imam As-Suyuti mentions it in his Inba'ul Azkiya regarding the Hayatul Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, and has also been mentioned by other authorities. However, we are interested at this time in the book of Al-Bayhaqi radiallahu anhu. He also mentions on the authority of Sufyan al-Thawri, who says, قَالَ شَيْخٌ لَنَا, that a certain shaykh of ours mentioned عَنْ سَعِيدِ بْنِ الْمُسَيِّبِ radiallahu anhu, on the authority of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, who was a major tabi'i scholar, the tabi'i generation being the generation that came after the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, قال ما مكث نبي في قبره أكثر من 40 ليلة حتى يرفع. No Nabi stays in his grave more than 40 days except that he stands up, meaning for prayer, عليهم الصلاة والسلام. And he says كما روينا في حديث المعراج وغيره, as we mentioned regarding in the hadith of Mi'raj, the Mi'raj being the event when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascended to the seventh heaven and even further to the lotus tree and past the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, as we narrated in the hadith of Mi'raj, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ra'a Musa alayhi salam qa'iman yusalli fi qabrihi, that he sees Musa alayhi salatu wasalam standing in his grave praying. ثم رآه مع سائر الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام في بيت المقدس. Then he seen him عليه الصلاة والسلام, موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام, with the rest of the أنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام in بيت المقدس in Jerusalem or in الشام. ثم رآهم في السماوات. Then he seen the أنبياء عليهم الصلوات in the heavens. والله تبارك وتعالى فعال لما يريد. That verily Allah the Most High does what He wills. سبحانه وتعالى. He also says ولحياة الأنبياء بعد موتهم. For the lives of the أنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام after the passing away, شواهد من الأحاديث الصحيحة. That there are many witness أحاديث to this from the authentic ahadith. For instance, on the authority of Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he states anna ba'da ashab an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him akhbarahu anna an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laylatan usra bihi marra ala Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. On the night which he was made to traverse, asra yusri isra'an means to travel from in the night, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila akhir al-ayah. That subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, subhan is to give taqdis to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ, that the one who traversed in the night with his servant. أَسْرَى يُسْرِي means to traverse in the night. And here, the night where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled from Mecca to Asham, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, he passed by Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, وَهُوَ يُصَلِّي فِي قَبْرِهِ, and he alayhi salatu wa salam was standing in his grave praying. A point to note from this, in another narration, he states that Musa alayhi, when he says ataytu ala Musa, I came to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam laylatan usriya bi, on the night I was made to travel, inda al-katib al-ahmar, in a red dune, a heavy red dune of sand. وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي قَبْرِهِ, and he was standing in his grave worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith has been also reported on the authority of Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih as well. A point to mention here is the superlative quality of the eyesight of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that while travelling on the buraq that was brought to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and while he traversed, he was still able to see into the grave of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, which is described as a red dune hill, a huge hill of some sort. And he sallallahu alayhi wasalam, his eyesight pierced through the hill, and he was able to see Musa alayhi salatu wasalam standing praying in his grave. Also, what is mentioned on the authority of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laqad ra'aytani fil hijr. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you would have seen me in the hijr. The hijr is the semicircle area around the Kaaba. If you see, you will see the cube of the Kaaba. Next to the cube is the semicircle area. This semicircle area is also considered as part of the Kaaba. During the rebuilding of the Kaaba, the Quraysh did not have enough funds to build the Kaaba completely. Hence, they left a semicircled area, and they left that wall, a wall big enough for someone to climb over. This was left for the poor people to go inside the Kaaba. So if one of you is honored by going to Umrah or to the Hajj, when you enter this semicircled area, which is known as Al-Hijj, this semicircled area is in fact a part of the Kaaba. And there's a detailed discussion regarding this in the Sahih of Imam al-Muslim radiallahu anhu, regarding when Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu took over the Haram, he made the Kaaba upon this region as well as a cube shape. And when the Umayyads took the Haram back, they destroyed that extra area. This is with the area where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to that he was seated. Hence he says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتَنِي فِي الْحِجْرِ. You would have seen me in the semi-circled area. وَأَنَا أُخْبِرُ قُرَيْشًا عَنْ مُسْرًا. That I was informing the Quraysh regarding my traversing in the night. فَسَأَلُونِي عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ. And they questioned me regarding various things. مِنْ بَيْتِ الْمُقَدَّسِ. Regarding the house, the Baytul Muqaddas, the mosque, Al-Aqsa. لَمْ أَثْبُتْهَا. Those things which I was not able to answer. فَكَرِبْتُ كَرْبًا مَا كَرِبْتُ مِثْلَهُ قَطْ. That I went through difficulties, such difficulties that I had not gone through prior. فَرَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the house in front of me. فَرَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ لِي أَنظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. And I was able to see the bayt, meaning the baytul muqaddas. I was able to see and describe the detail regarding the house in Ash-Sham. مَا يَسْأَلُونِ عَنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا أَنْبَأْتُهُمْ بِهِ. They did not ask me regarding any one thing except that I would inform them regarding the house in Ash-Sham. وَقَدْ رَأَيْتَنِي فِي جَمَاعَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. You would have seen me in the house, referring to the masjid. You would have seen me amongst a group of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. فَإِذَا مُوسَى قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. That Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was praying in the mosque. Hence, the prior report informs us that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed the grave of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, he seen Musa alayhi salatu wassalam praying in his grave, and he, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was able to see him praying. Now, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informing us that we would have seen, if we were to see the Isra and the Mi'raj, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam praying in the mosque, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam praying in the mosque. And then he goes ahead to describe Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. فَإِذَا رَجُلٌ ضَرْبُ جَعْدٍ. That he was a man with a striking resemblance of red, a slight redness or a brown color. كَأَنَّهُ مِنْ رِجَالِ شَنُوءَةٍ. As if he was a man from the Shanu'a tribe. The Shanu'a tribe were a tribe from Yemen. And he described Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as a man from the tribes of Yemen. وَإِذَا عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. And you would have seen Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wassalam. You would have seen Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salatu wassalam also praying in the house. أَقْرَبُ النَّاسِ بِهِ شُبْهًا. That the nearest to him in similarity is Urwatu ibn Mas'udin al-Thaqafi. Was Urwatu ibn Mas'udin al-Thaqafi. This was a man who passed away in the Jahiliyyah. وَإِذَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي. And also you would have seen Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam praying in the Masjid al-Aqsa. أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ بِهِ صَاحِبُكُمْ. The most similar of people to him is your companion. Meaning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself was the most like, the most similar man to Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Because Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was the forefather of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. يعني نفسه فحانت الصلاة. And the salah prayer was called for amongst all these anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. You can imagine the group of the anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, from Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam all the way down to Sayyiduna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The jama'ah was called. فأممتهم. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam led them in the prayer. فَلَمَّا فَرَغْتُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. When I finished from my prayer, قَالَ لِي قَائِلٌ. A person said, a sayer said to me, maybe an angel, يَا مُحَمَّدْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وسلم, هَذَا مَالِكٌ صَاحِبُ النَّارِ فَسَلِّمَ عَلَيْهِ. عفواً. This is Malik, Malik meaning the angel of the hellfire. صَاحِبُ النَّارِ. the companion of hellfire. This literally would mean sahibun nar. However, we do not translate this as sahibun nar, the companion of the hellfire, because this is some type of disrespect for an angel to say he's a companion of the hellfire. Rather, we say the guardian of the hellfire, because this is what is meant. An example of mistranslations in the English language, like وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, that he found you, Baal. Many translators of the Quran and translators of books, they translate Baal here to mean misguided. However, Baal here means searching, someone who was searching. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which he was searching for. Here as well, the translation we should be careful with, sahibun nar, does not mean a companion of the hell or a person who abides in the hellfire. Rather, it means the custodian of the hellfire, the person who looks after the hellfire. فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. So the angel told Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give salam to the angel of the hellfire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَالْتَفَتُّ إِلَيْهِ. And I turned to him, فَبَدَأَنِي بِالسَّلَامِ. And he gave me salam prior, before the angel of death. This shows, this hadith alone is suffices. Firstly, we understand that Musa alayhi salatu was salam, as narrated in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, was seen by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying in his grave. Like I mentioned before, this shows the superlative quality of the eyesight of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, it shows the life, ismus life of the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam in their graves. How they pray in their graves and they stand up to pray. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was salam praying in the Masjid Al-Aqsa. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then seen and met the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam in the heavens. This also shows the power of the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam after having passed away, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them the power to attend many places at one time, even after their passing away. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He wills. And these are sahih ahadith. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, regarding the angel of the hellfire, in one hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding him, Ya Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the angel Jibra'il, O Jibra'il, he does not smile. The angel of the hellfire does not smile. And Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya Rasulullah, if he had smiled for anyone, I thought it would have been you. However, since the creation of hellfire, I have never seen him smile. These ahadith are enough for a person of intellect to understand that the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam have a life in their graves that we must accept, unlike those who try to interpret these ahadith in accordance with their whims and desires. As I mentioned once before regarding the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain groups do not want to give ta'wilat, interpretations regarding the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are mentioned, like istiwa and the yad and qadam and saq, these the foot and the shin. They do not apply figurative interpretation regarding these attributes. However, when it comes to the ahadith regarding the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in their graves, they are quick to ascribe a ta'wil or an interpretation for these ahadith. This shows that such people are following their whims and desires. However, the Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah take these ahadith as they have come, and we accept that the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam are alive in their graves, and we understand this to mean as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam described. For instance, in one hadith, عن أبي مسعود الأنصاري رضي الله عنه, from on the authority of Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, who said, أكثر الصلاة علي في يوم الجمعة, increase upon me your salah on the day of judgment. You see, we find certain groups who stop people from reciting a salat and a salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They should remember the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith narrated by Imam At-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, and the hadith is sahih. Al-bakhilu alladhi ana dhukirtu 'indahu wa la yusalli 'alayya. The stingy person is the one I am mentioned in front of him and he does not recite the salah and the salah upon me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to recite as-salah and as-salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's no limitation to reciting the salah and as-salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no mubtadi', a person of innovation, should try to limit the as-salah and salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثِرُ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَيَّ فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ. Increase your salah upon me on the day of Jum'ah. May Allah give us tawfiq to do so. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ يُصَلِّ عَلَيَّ أَحَدٌ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ. That verily it is that no one recites the salah upon me on the day of Jum'ah. إِلَّا عَرَضَتْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاتُهُ. Except that his salah comes to me. Now, this hadith has also been narrated by Imam Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, and it is a sahih hadith, sahihul isnad, and it has shawahid as well, as we will see shortly. Like for instance, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, as mentioned by Imam Al-Bayhaqi also in his book and others, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثروا علي من الصلاة في كل يوم جمعة فَإِنَّ صَلَاةَ أُمَّتِي تُعْرَضُ عَلَيَّ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمِ جُمْعَةٍ فَمَنْ كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً كَانَ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مِنِّي مَنْزِلَةً. This is very important. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who has the most of salah and of salam upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be the closest to him on the Day of Judgment. Closest to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a sahih hadith and narrated by Imam Al-Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, and also in this Risala of his, that the one who recites as-salah and as-salam upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the closest to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today people boast of being close to people of dunya. Imagine yourself being close to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also to mention here is regarding the ard of the salah to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is twofold. One ard is that the angels bring this salah and as-salam to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The groups, the hashwiya, the vulgar anthropomorphists, they accept that the salah is taken to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via the means of an angel. Some of them accept this. However, they disregard the fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears the salah and salam with his own ears sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, simply because they cannot comprehend this fact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Inna arsalna ka shahida. We have sent you as a witness. Verily we have sent you as a witness. Hence he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a witness, as narrated in the sahih hadith in the Musnad al-Bazzar, as I narrated in the prior Jum'ah nights. We mentioned the hadith in Bazzar where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly states that the a'mal of his ummah come to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَقْرَبَكُمْ مِنِّي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي كُلِّ مَوْطِنٍ أَكْثَرُكُمْ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةً فِي الدُّنْيَا. That verily the closest to me on the Day of Judgment, في كل موطن, in every موطن means nation, from every nation, regardless of whether a man is in England or if he is in the Maghrib in Morocco, or if he is in Pakistan, or if he is in India or China, if he has recited as-salah and as-salam upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will be closest to me on the Day of Judgment. من صلى علي 100 مرة في يوم الجمعة وليلة الجمعة. Whoever recites a salah upon me 100 times on the day of Jumu'ah and the night of Jumu'ah, قضى الله له 100 حاجة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill 100 needs of his. 100 needs. Simple thing to recite, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad. That's one need fulfilled with one salah and salam upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قضى الله له 100 حاجة 70 من حوائج الآخرة. 70 of these needs are from the hereafter. وثلاثين من حوائج الدنيا. And 30 of them are from the hereafter. يوكل الله بذلك ملكا يدخله في قبري. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an agent from the malaika who takes responsibility of these as-salah and salam upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يدخله في قبري. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places him in my grave. كما يدخل عليكم الهداية. As he grants you people guidance. يخبرني من صلى علي باسمه ونسبه إلى عشيرته. That the angel of informs me of his name. So if Ahmed, for instance, recites اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is informed that Ahmed has recited الصلاة and السلام upon you. ونسبه, and his نسب, his lineage, the son of such and such, إلى عشيرته, down to his forefathers. فأثبته عندي, and I write this down. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم records this. إثبات means to prove something. However, here it means to record. في صحيفة بيضاء, in a white sheet. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam records this in a white sheet, the name of that person and the name of his father and his forefathers, that he recited as-salawat and as-salam upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before finishing, I would like to just give one more hadith on the topic. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith narrated by Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunan. There's also other hadith regarding the salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, we can allocate a single talk for just the salawat. However, we're dealing at the moment with the lives of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam in their graves. In a sahih hadith narrated by Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunan and Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la taj'alu biyutakum qabura, do not make your homes graves, wa la taj'alu qabri eida, and do not make my grave an eid, wa sallu alayya, recite salawat upon me, fa inna salatakum tablughuni haythu kuntum, verily your salah reaches me wherever you may be. What the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam meant by do not make your homes graves, he further clarifies this by saying sallu alayya, recite salawat upon me. Hence this shows that the salawat should be recited in the homes. This is to make your homes lively and to bring barakah in the homes. If someone recites in abundance as-salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what he meant by وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا قَدْرِ عِيدًا, do not make my grave an eid. Certain people misinterpret this hadith to mean that do not visit my grave. However, this is not what is meant by this hadith. لَا تَجْعَلُوا قَدْرِ عِيدًا, eid comes twice a year. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further clarifies this by saying صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ, that do not visit my grave in al-Madinah al-Munawwara once or twice a year and recite salat upon me, making a festival once or twice a year. Rather, with regularity, recite as-salawat to me wherever you may be, and whenever you come to visit me, recite as-salawat upon me as well. This is what is the fiqh of the hadith, as further confirmed in the Mu'atta of Imam Muhammad radiallahu anhu, stating regarding Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, he would go to the Rawda of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and recite as-salah and as-salam upon him, then go to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and say as-salamu alayka ya Aba Bakr. Then he would go to the grave of his father Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu and say as-salamu alayka ya Abi, salam be upon you, O my father. And then he would leave the mosque radiyallahu anhu, and elucidated in other hadith regarding the ziyarah of the grave of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith narrated, man zara qabri wajabat lahu shafa'ati, whoever visits my grave wajib becomes for him my shafa'ah. This hadith has been narrated by Imam Ad-Darqutni in his Sunan on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, and it is a hasan hadith. Imam Tajuddin and Taqiyuddin As-Subki radiyallahu anhuma and Imam Abdul Hay al-Laknawi, with the opinion of this hadith is hasan, and those who are going Umrah should take this hadith into account. May Allah give us tawfiq to recite as-salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance, and revive our hearts and fulfill our needs, and may he give us tawfiq to be on the minhaj of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah regarding the belief of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, and may he take the belief of the Khawarij and the people of Bid'ah and innovation away from our circles. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وأتوب إليه.
We'll open up for question and answer.
Questions, any brothers, if they got questions.
Other questions, you know, on the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to intercede for us.
Okay.
Does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam choose which part of the ummah, or does Allah say, you know?
In the hadith of al-Shafa'atul Kubra, the major intercession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and in other hadith books, it mentions that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would prostrate in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I've mentioned before, prostration, when they say prostration in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this does not designate a direction for Allah. Allah is free from direction. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will prostrate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the shafa'ah, and then Allah will say, go pick the ones who have committed major sins from your ummah. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go and pick. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, pick such and such group of people, pick such and such. So obviously, مَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ and لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent to explain to us the deen, and whatever he has been given is an explanation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, whosoever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes for, he's been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede on their behalf.
You mentioned about Miraj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through the seven heavens and beyond the arsh even. And then you mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he went beyond the seven heavens, you know, some people get confused and start thinking,
Allah has a direction.
In literalist terms, Allah was there and he went to see Allah and he had to go there to see Allah. Why?
I delivered a short lecture prior regarding the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Sahih of Ibn Hibban radiallahu anhu. Ibn Hibban, whose collection is an authentic collection, he records 2,647 ahadith which are not contained in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He has a chapter which he deals exclusively just on this issue. However, when we say, a short answer would be, Mullah Al-Qari mentions this in his commentary on Al-Shifa, inshallah, which we will be delivering lectures on very soon. He mentions that when the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection, some of the anthropomorphists, those who assign Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a direction, claim that how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be seen except with a direction? Except with a direction. It's a question. He replies, in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from direction, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala sees creation without a direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees creation without a direction, hence he will be seen without a direction. The logic is simple. In the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us without a direction, He is also seen without a direction. And that is what makes Him subhanahu wa ta'ala ilah. That's what makes Him the Godhead. That's what makes Him ilah, because He's seen without direction, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hence the hadith regarding the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going above the lot tree. A simple answer also would be regarding in Surah Al-A'raf, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was doing His tajalli. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth manifest Himself. On earth, where did Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam ask to be seen? On the Mount Tur. They say it was a smaller mountain than At-Tur, that was next to At-Tur in the Tafasir, because the mountain was disintegrated after. However, it was a small mountain next to At-Tur. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see Him on earth. Hence this shows that location was not the subject matter here. The question comes up here, if location is not the subject matter, we agree Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, which he did not. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above the seven heavens. Then why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to the seven heavens? The answer is simple, to show the creation, the khalq, the magnificence of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To show the azma that Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam requested to see me, and he was granted his request even though he was not able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was granted his request, but he was not able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought from Mecca to the Masjid Aqsa, and they made to lead the Anbiya in prayer, then taken up to the seven heavens. This shows the creation, the magnificence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence the simple fact is that the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to direction. That's a simple answer. Another one would be when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above the arsh, and Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wa sallam made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the whale. This was not subject to location. The dua both was accepted. However, this was to show the maqam of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. InshaAllah, when we come to this chapter in the Mi'raj, in Ash-Shifa of Qadi Iyad radiallahu anhu, these questions will come through the book, and inshaAllah they will be dealt with.
Do the martyrs have a similar life in their graves as the prophets?
The martyrs are alive in their graves as mentioned in the Quran, and are nurtured as well in their graves. However, the lives of the Anbiya are even more greater than that of the martyrs, because the Anbiya have been mentioned in rank higher than that of the their rank is higher than that of the martyrs. However, they are alive in their graves. It's mentioned in the Quran. There's no dispute regarding that between the Ahl Sunnah and the Mu'tazila, because the rejection of the lives of the Anbiya in their graves is a Mu'tazili thinking. Mu'tazila were a group who would use intellect over the Quran and the Sunnah. And this modern thinking that how could they ask so-called logical questions when it comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how can this be, how can that be? But when it comes to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have what we call in Arabic ta'atilul aql. Ta'atilul aql means the stripping of intellect. They do not use intellect when it suits them, and they use intellect when they think they are using their intellect.
One more question.
Okay.
Isn't there a proof in, you know, the incident in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ that there was a Jewess who tried to poison the Prophet ﷺ, and then although that was ineffective, when the Prophet ﷺ did pass away, the effect of the poison came back and overcame him, and because of that he also has the rank of a shaheed, and therefore...
This is mentioned by Imam As-Suyuti in his Risala Imba'ul Azkiya fi Hayat al-Anbiya, and is one of the positions of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah of the scholars. Having said that, these are what would we call backup evidence of some sort. The main evidence is in the ahadith. In Nazm al-Mutanathir min al-Ahadith al-Mutawatir, Sheikh Kattani, he mentions the hadith of the Hayatul Anbiya, the lives of the Anbiya in their graves, as a Mutawatir hadith. Mutawatir is so widespread that no one can reject the hadith. And if anyone rejects the hadith, if anyone rejects a hadith mutawatir, he becomes a kafir. And if anyone tries to add their own opinion disregarding the ahadith, he becomes a person of innovation. So the ahadith regarding the lives of the anbiya in their graves are from the ahadith mutawatir. May Allah give us tawfiq to accept them with a full heart. قُلْ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ